The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
With all the threats and dangers and terrorism in the world today, I think an important question that we need to ask ourselves is there a safe place or is there a safe haven for God's people? And the answer is yes. Yes, there is a place. And the reason there is a place is because our great God has always provided a safe place for His people. This safe place or safe haven may not be what we as humans tend to think about. It may not be how we see it, but we also need to realize how God protects may be quite a surprise at times. However, it is safety. There is safety. You see, God has protected His people in the past. God is protecting His people today, and God will protect His people even yet in the future. And something I also think very important for us to understand and to think about and to realize is the size of the weapon, the cleverness of the foe, or the strength of the enemy. Or for that matter, the resources that they may have as they bring their attacks against God's people. None of this actually really matters. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make how big it is. It doesn't make any difference, any of these things, because after all, God counts all the nations of the earth as nothing more than the dust that we find on the scales. That's what we see over in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 15. And brethren, here is the reason why this is so. The reason is why is because God is the Almighty, and He is in charge. And we must never forget that. We must always remember who is in charge and who it is that we worship, who it is that is our great God, and who is it that is our God and our Father. It's God the Almighty. All of us who have studied the Bible for years, we understand and we realize that the danger and the trouble is prophesied to come on the people of the United States, as well as it is also prophesied to come upon other nations of the world. All of this is going to take place before the return of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, which is pictured by the Feast of Trumpets. The purpose of the sermon today is to present an insight into God's powers, an insight into the promises of God that He offers protection to His people, and to help us also come to a clearer understanding of how and when God will protect. If we would just simply stop and think about it, I think surely all of us would know that God has protected us. I mean, all you got to do is think back in your life, and we understand. If when we really stop and think about it, we would understand. In fact, He has protected us over and over and over and over. Or, if He hadn't, we wouldn't be here today. And I'm not talking about that we would not necessarily not just be in the church of God. I'm talking about for many of us, perhaps we wouldn't even be alive if God's hand of protection was not on us. And so a question that I'd ask us very early in this sermon is, and that would be, how often do we actually stop and think about God's protective care? And how often do we actually stop and thank God for that protection specifically? You see, our God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He keeps us and He protects us. And do we realize that, and do we concentrate on it, and do we think about that, and do we bless Him for the very fact that we know this is true? Think about it for a moment. How many times you have kept your children from pain or disaster when they were little? And here's the point. At times, those children, they had no idea, they had no clue they were even in any kind of potential danger. Do we think about this from the point of view in like manner? How often has God protected us from certain disaster, and maybe we didn't even know about it? Perhaps countless times. Probably countless times. I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to take a look into the story of Elisha and his servant. Many of us are familiar with this, but it does serve a purpose in this sermon today. 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 16 through 17. Verse 16, it says, "And he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Now, we could spend an entire sermon on this. We could probably spend several sermons on it. When you think about it, this is an awesome statement. No matter how many come against us, no matter what the foes, whatever, how clever they are, what their resources is, and all of those things I talked about a little bit ago, it makes no difference because God always says, there's more with us than there are with them. Now, that's awesome to think about. Verse 17, "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, Lord, I open you, I ask you that you would open his eyes, the eyes of his servant, that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw." Again, an incredible verse to think about. "And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Now, here's the point. Elisha was a man of God, and so are we. Do you understand that? He was a person who belonged to God, and God was protecting him. We think God is going to protect us. Maybe some of us need to have our eyes open so that we too can see God's protection about us. I want to take a look in the next few moments. I'd like for us to take a look at related topic of a safe place or a safe haven. And we're going to take a look at this by looking at three different words in the scriptures and then try and put it all together. And I would also like to ask us, as we go through each one of these three words that we find in scripture, I'd like for us to ask, how do we look at these topics? How do we look at these words? And I'm talking about not from a doctrinal point of view, not from a Christian point of view, but how do we look at these verses in our lives on an individual basis? That's the question that I'm asking. And I want to take a look at this. The three words we're going to look at is the word safe, the word safely, and the word safety. They're three separate words. Now, I'm using the King James Bible. And some of the other translations that may use some alternate words, and I know that they actually, some translations do use alternate words, but these words serve the purpose of what I'm wanting is to see and how I'm wanting to see this. And I think that the words are good words in the King James as we find them. The first word we're going to look at is the word safe. I want you to go to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 117. Psalm 119, verse 117. "Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually." Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. "The fear of man brings a snare." Oh, this is talking to most of us. "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." You find yourself in a situation you're just not really sure that God is there for you, God is protecting you, whatever the situation is, that there's a snare that the fear of man brings a snare. And so we're snared because things are going on in our lives that we look at and we go, this shouldn't be. Well, they are. And then how do we look at it? How do we look at it? Either the fear of man is going to continue to bring the snare, or are we going to put our trust in God? And as a result of that, we know that God is going to cause us to be safe. And we have to make some decisions. How are we going to look at that? How do we look at these topics? Do these verses describe your relationship with God? It's a question that we have to ask. Let's go to the next word. The second word is safely. S-A-F-E-L-Y, safely. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. It is a statement regarding wisdom, and we need it as God's people. He makes it available to us. But whoso listens to me, meaning to wisdom, this is personification of God and his way of life, in essence, is what it's referring to. But whosoever listens to me will dwell safely, will dwell safely, and will be secure without fear of evil. Let's go to Proverbs 3 and verse 23 we begin. And this is another statement regarding wisdom. Same scenario. Proverbs 3 and verse 23. Then shall you walk in your way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. We can walk in the way safely. We can claim this. These aren't just words, brethren. These aren't just statements that are there. These are promises that we can claim that God has made, and he's made these for his people. Let's continue on. In verse 24, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear. All kinds of calamities, threats against our nation have happened, are currently under, and we know prophecy shows are going to happen. And so this is the way we need to look at it. We can lie down and we cannot be afraid. Yes, we can lie down and our sleep will be sweet. And we will be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. That also is prophesied. The wicked come against the people of God. And we know the end result is we're protected and they're destroyed. Verse 26, for the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. We're not going to be removed. We put our faith, we put our trust, we put our confidence in God because he is our confidence. I want us to look now at the third word. The third word is safety, S-A-F-E-T-Y. We're going to see two passages. The first was in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Leviticus 25 and verse 18. Leviticus 25, verse 18. So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. You live the godly way of life, God has said. If you live this godly way of life, the way that I've instructed, live by my statutes and my judgments and my laws and all of these things, live the way of life, and you're going to live in the world safely, in safety. That's what it says. Verse 19, then the land will yield its fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell there in safety. Proverbs 21 says, and verse 31. Proverbs 21 and verse 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. That's where it all comes from. There's going to be safety. We're going to be safe. We're going to be able to live in the land in a safe way. We're going to live safely, and we're going to have safety all about us. All of these words are pertinent. And here's another thing that is really good for us to see and to understand here, because you see, God tells us that he tells his servants what he is going to do before it ever happens. We know what's going to happen because God tells us. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos 3 and verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Think about how God kept safe some of his people, some of his servants down through the ages. We've already asked the question, you know, has God protected us? And I'm sure all of us could have answered the question, yes, I realize he does. Well, let's take a look at, not so much want to look at the verses, but we can just think about the lives of some of the people because we know these stories. The first one I want to think about is Noah. Noah. God has told him, he says, Noah, I want you to take you and your family, these eight people, and I want you to build this ark in the sight of all the people, all of the wickedness, because the wickedness is so bad that I'm going to destroy every man, woman, and child off of the face of the earth. Talking about being promised safe and being able to live in the land safely and being given safety. So for the next 120 years, God used the preparation of the safe place or the safe haven as a witness for all the world. So for 120 years, he's building on this ark in the sight of all the people. Noah is building the safe place, the thing which by which God is going to use to protect him, to protect Noah and his family. And he does. Now, here's what's interesting, because this story provides some very powerful lessons about how God moves to affect his will and to protect the people at the same time. Because you see, God accomplishes many different things at one time. Don't think that things are just happening and that's all it is. No, it could be that God is allowing things so that he builds the faith and the confidence and the surety of the people of God toward God. I mean, have you ever thought about it like that? Noah, you'd think God couldn't have done this in another way? Of course he could. So he has Noah to build this ark, this boat, in a place where there was not this kind of rain that is being propped. So for 120 years, he's preaching. He's telling the people. A flood is going to come. A flood is going to come. You think he looked like he was a really bright person? I doubt it. But the whole time what he's building is his safe place. God did more than one thing by doing that. He provided a witness. And then he had it written down for the ends of the earth that we could understand. That's what it says. Another example is David. There are so many times when David knew of God's tender mercies and God's awesome protection was upon him. And time again, God protected David from his enemies. We could read psalm after psalm after psalm. Not even going to. And if you're not familiar with it, start in chapter 1 and just keep going. And you'll see protection that God gave to David. He even talks about, did he lay down and went to sleep? He says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. He understood it. David understood this. Let's go to Psalm 7 and verse 10. Psalm 7 and verse 10. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. David understood this. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. This is still from David. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Do we know that? Do we claim that? Do we think this? And do we thank God for this? Continuing on, my shield or my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He's saying, you are my shield, you are my buckler, and you are the horn of my salvation. You are my high tower. The high tower is a symbol of something that you run into for safety. Is God where we run into for safety? No matter what the situation is. You know, it doesn't have to be threats. It doesn't have to be terrorism going on. It doesn't have to be the bombs falling. It could be things in our personal lives. It could be problems with our job. It could be problems with our family. It could be problems with our neighbors. Where do we go to look for safety? It's very plain in Scripture. We run to God. That's what He wants. He wants us to run to Him, to run into Him for all of these things, all of them. I want you to go down to Psalm 91, and we're going to read several verses here because I think it's an incredible chapter. Psalm 91 in verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty." Question, is that where you dwell? It's a question. You know, the statement is there. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Is that where you dwell? Do we dwell there? Verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him do I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." Pestilence are going to are prophesied to happen at the end of the time. Are we going to be protected from it? The answer is, we can be. But what are we running into? Where are we putting our trust? Verse 4, "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." His truth. Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen. This, you know, this could be happening. I could lose my job and I could starve to death and, you know, and all of these kind of things. Well, Scripture says that the righteous, they don't starve to death. Didn't say that we might not get hungry. It's not the point. There are people who die from starvation. But He has prophesied, He has promised that the people are not going to do that. Didn't say anything about how low it could go. And we look at it and we say, well, that means God's not doing His job. God is doing His job. The point we need to ask is, am I doing my job? Am I doing my part? Am I putting my trust and my faith and my confidence in God? Verse 5, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." We can go back to some horrible times in the history of Israel. And we could be reading these verses and we could be asking, what were the people of God, when all of this was going on, thinking? Were they thinking this? Verse 7, "A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you." Verse 8, "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear," they are the angelic beings, "they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder," or the cobra, "the young lion and the dragon," or the serpent, "you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." That "me" there is God. Because this person has put his faith, because this person, as it says in this verse, because he has set his love upon God, God says, "I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." He knows who and what is God. He knows who God is. And he calls upon the name of the Lord, calls upon God. Verse 15, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him." Why do you think God is going to honor his people? Because we call upon God. Because we know who he is. We know what he's going to do. And we trust God and we live our lives accordingly. Verse 16, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." There's a lot more comments we could make about all of these 16 verses that we've read. But brethren, here's the point that I want to do, and I'd like to ask us a question. To whom are these promises made? Who are these promises to? We know that part of Psalm 91 describes what happened to Jesus Christ. We understand it. That was prophetic to happen, and some of these things happen in this verse. We know that. But do you think just any person can read these verses and then, like a chant or in a superstitious way, claim these verses for protection? Does any person have access to God and to His protection? We notice right here in Psalm 91 that God describes the kind of person who will have God's protection. In essence, the person to be protected is the person who has learned to live in God, to put their trust in God, because they run into the high tower. That's why I'm using the phrase, they live in God. That's where they put their trust. That's where they put their confidence. That's where they put their faith and all of these things, because he has God as his refuge. He is not the wicked, because it talks about what happens. These are going to see what happens to the wicked. So it's not the wicked. So it's not just any person can claim these things. But we also see from the verses, this person who does receive protection of God, it says he will see the reward. And so what's going to happen to the wicked? And it makes it very plain. This person has known who God is and what God is capable of and what God's going to do. He says he's known my name. God makes even other, what I would consider to be absolutely wonderful and very specific promises of protection to his people. I want to read some of those verses and think about some of those verses. Let's go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. The you there is God. God will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. These are some verses that show protection for the church. I told you some very wonderful scriptures dealing and promises dealing with protection for the people of God. Very specific, some of them. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 13, we begin. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which is the church, which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a times from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water, and we understand that is armies, as a flood after the woman or after the church, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. In other words, to be destroyed by these armies that are sent after the church. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. It didn't say it opened up and swallowed the church. It says it opened up and swallowed up this flood that came after the church. And the dragon was angry with the woman, oh, you think? And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. There is a difference. There is a difference between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. And God is going to point out that there is this great difference. And he's going to protect those who serve God. Do any of us actually doubt God's great power and ability to intervene in mankind's affairs? And the answer is no. We've seen it. We know it. We know God does it. When we find ourselves in any kind of doubt, usually it is not so much that we doubt God's ability, you know, his ability to protect us as a person, or that he is capable of protecting his people. It's more so that we wonder if he will protect us. And maybe even on a more personal basis, is often the problem is that we are not sure how God feels about me. I know God protects his people. I can see this. You know, he protected David. He protected, you know, he built the ark, and so he destroyed all the people except Noah's family, da-da, and all of these guys. And we know all of this. But I don't know God. I don't know how he feels about me, and so I don't know how God is going to protect me. When we get to that place, or if we ever get to that place, it is time to do spiritual battle. And that's another sermon. But we're still going to make some thoughts in regards to that. I want you to think back for a moment to when you have found yourself dealing with security issues in your life. And I'm using this word security issues or feeling safe, and that's broad. It could be, well, I'm in a dead-end job. I'm at a dead-end marriage. I'm in a whatever it may be. I'm not going to get the promotion. I don't have a job. I don't have a mate. I don't have whatever it is. That's the security issues that I'm referring to. It's broad. When we're in situations where things aren't going the way that we think that they should be going, think back to how you typically deal with those issues. Think back to when you have been afraid, and then also think back of what you have been afraid. What do you tend to do at those times? I want to briefly list how many people, even people in the Church of God, react to any kind of threats to their security. Any kind. And I know that after I give you this very brief list, I know that you can come up with others. But here's a list that I have. Arrogance, anger, responding by threatening back, escaping, running away from the threat or running away from the problem, blaming, denying that any threat actually exist. Sometimes we feel that we must hit back, and it could go on and on. But I think you get the picture, because these are the things that humans typically do. And there's a list of these things that we typically do. And we need to ask ourselves, do I typically do any of these things? So, brother, I'd like for us to realize what God wants us to do at those times. The answer is so simple. It is profound when we think about it. He wants us to run to him. That's what he wants. He wants us to come to him. We also need to understand that part of our worship as God is understanding who and what God is. It also is good for us to understand that God insists that to please him, we must be diligent in our seeking him. Matthew 6:33. Seek you third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Is that what he says? No, he says seek you first. He wants to be first place. He insists that we put him first in our lives. Except for when we're going through some security issue. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. It is in every area of our lives, every moment of our lives, we put God first. And God insists that we please Him and come to Him first, seeking Him first. He also insists that we must come to Him having a positive attitude and having a positive approach as to how He will deal with us. Well, I don't know how God is going to deal with us. Yes, you can know. Because He tells us. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. Him is God. For the person who comes to God must believe that God is and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Of course we know what God will do. It says that He will reward those. If we're needing physical protection, what does He give us? Rewards us with physical protection. And the list can go on and on. And I think we get the picture. I think we should understand this. And oh yes, we also need to know that God loves us and that God protects us. He wants us to know that He loves us. He wants us to know that He protects us. No doubts. Absolutely known. That He does that. And of course, we also need to understand, sometimes we bring the problems upon ourselves. And God allows us to learn lessons. We also need to understand, God does not cast us off at those times either. He doesn't cast us off. As we go through His chastening, as we endure His chastening, He's going to punish us. It's very plain. We're His children. And a parent who loves the child chastens them. And God loves us. And He's going to chasten us. Because He deals with us as His precious sons and daughters, that we are. And He's going to do that. And all the time, He is protecting us. All the time, He is guiding us. All the time, He is saving us. A couple of questions to think about. Do we want God's ear? In other words, do we want God to listen to us? Or do we care? Of course we do. Do we want God to hear us when we are being threatened? Of course we do. Of course we want God's ear. It would be like any child that is feeling threatened in any way. What does that parent want this child to do? Come to me. Come to me. That's exactly what God wants. It's exactly what God wants. When we feel afflicted, whether it be real or imagined, when we feel afflicted or we are suffering, real or imagined, or we are feeling threatened, real or imagined, God instructs us exactly on what He wants us to do. I guess a question that I think that we need to ask ourselves is, do we believe this is true? Do we believe it? There is a Bible verse that tells you the answer. It's in James 5 and verse 13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. You go to God. You run into that high tower. He is the shield. He is the buckler. He has the answers. It's what I said. You're a parent. You have a child that feels threatened. Physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever, real or imagined, what do you want this child to do? Come to you and ask you. Come to you and talk to you. That's exactly what God says. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. My recommendation is we commit this verse to memory and then we live by those powerful words. We live by it. But is this what we typically do? Probably not, unless we've already known this. And the reason is because we understand this is not how a typical human being will deal with these kinds of problems. This is not what we typically do. But we also need to understand it is exactly what God instructs us to do. And sometimes I've told this to people and people said, yes, but I don't even know what to pray. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. We just don't think about it. We don't know that we know. And so therefore, we're quick to say, well, I don't know. And the answer is, yeah, you do. Put yourself in the place of a seven-year-old. Somebody's threatening you. Prayer is talking to daddy. So you go to your parent. What do you tell them? That's what you tell God. We do know. We just think, well, I'm an adult, and so I don't act this way. We're children. This is exactly what he wants. Somebody is threatening me. God already knows what's going on. He already knows what's happening. He already knows the why it's happening. But he also already knows the solution. And he wants us to know that he has the solution. That's why we go to our parents when we're in trouble as a child and we say, I've got this problem. Help me. That's prayer. That's what God wants. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And again, I say, this is not typically what human beings do. I'm not even sure this is typically what people in the Church of God do. Some of the first things we're trying to do is work it out on our own. And that's not what God says to do. Also, for God to answer us speedily, which is what we want when we are in need of his protection and his intervention, there are other instructions that we find in the Bible as well for us to observe. There are many. I'm going to just real quickly go through a limited number, and you can find the others on your own, and you can, search the scriptures and you can find some others. But I'm going to read you some verses. Let's go to Psalm 27 and verse 5. 27 and verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, something we need to understand. In the Hebrew, in the actual Hebrew itself, there is not the word a or the. They added in for clarity. So what if you change that a to the? It fits. That's where he puts us. So in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. He gives us to Jesus Christ. You think he's capable of taking care of us in those times? I think so. And I think you think so. But that's what it says. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. Elisha and the young man, his servant, who was fearful, and he goes, but there's so many of them against us. And he went, you don't understand. There's more with us from God than there are with them. And he was still afraid. And so he prayed. We read that. And he said, Lord, will you show this young man your protection? It'd probably scare us spitless for God to do something like that in our lives today. But the reality is, it's there. It's not the Bible. It's not the truth if it's not true, but this is what it says. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him, that fear God, that have awe and respect and all that means of God. Oh, and he also delivers them, these people. That's what it says. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. We read that earlier in one more, Proverbs 1. In verse 33, we read it, but whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's put our trust in God. That's what this is saying. We can run into God. We can live in God. I used that phrase earlier because that's what it is picturing. We live in God. Now I want you to go with me, if you would, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Here we see what Jesus said to his disciples just prior to his crucifixion. In verse 7, John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, oh, isn't that what I'm talking about? Living in God? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We need to realize this promise that was made by Jesus Christ clearly extends to our calling out to God for our protection and safety. Whatever you desire, I desire to be safe. I desire to have this situation, to be able to bear up under it, to go through it. Are you in your love and your mercy, if you choose, take it completely away. But to give us the way to go through it, to bear up under it. Whatever it is that God deals with it. But we take it to God. We run to Him. We hide in Him. Because you see, brethren, God has invested so much in each one of us, individually and collectively as a people. He has. And we need to know that, we understand that, and we also need to understand and realize that we are right now in a training process in this earth. Just like Jesus, we can learn obedience by the things which we suffer. Did Jesus need to suffer? Yeah, He did. It was the plan. It was the way it was done. That if He bared up underneath it and He learned His obedience through the things He suffered, so can we. And none of us will escape all suffering. Even Jesus Christ didn't. And as it says, He learned obedience through that. It is part of God's plan for us. Suffering is part of His plan. Yet at the same time, it is so important how we respond to the experience that God either sends or the experience that God allows to come upon our lives. And I've already addressed the fact that some of them we bring upon ourselves. But even then, He still holds us. Then, He still deals with us in a positive way. I want to reread a couple of the verses that I read in Psalm 91, because I think when we read them now, I think you'll see it from a little bit fuller understanding. And what I'd like to do is I'd like for you to read them to you, and I'd like for you to simply listen to them. Like I've said before, when we read it, we see it, and we analyze it. When we hear it, we take it in, and it's more of an emotional way. And I want the emotional aspect of these verses to hit us, not the necessarily reading them. And I'm going to read these verses in the RSV, and I'm going to read verses 14, 15, and 16. Those are the verses. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because he knows my name, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Those are awesome verses. Just absolutely awesome. These verses are so moving when you think about it. I'd like each one of us to take them and to commit to memory, each every one of them that we can. And then as we have them in our thoughts, the forefront of our thinking, we have them in our heart, as we live in these times of great threats and troubles, that they will be ready there for us because we have them committed to memory. Because as 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us, know that also in the last days, perilous times will come. It's prophesied. We know it's going to happen. Why would we be shocked when it happens? The thing is, don't be shocked at how we respond to it. Because we'll have this, we have it, we've internalized it, we put it within. And so please understand this as I close here with this sermon. God absolutely intends for us to be safe in all situations, whatever it is. He intends for us to be safe. He intends for us to live securely. I mean, after all, why would he not? We are his children, and a loving parent protects his children. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.